The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hey everyone, welcome in. I hope you're staying warm and safe out there. You know it, it's Tuesday. This is Speak Up. My name is Barbara, and I am so glad that you're joining in with us today. And that's because we're getting familiar with some of the new names coming into the political landscape. And today we're looking at the Boundary County primary ballot and a candidate for nomination for sheriff in Boundary County. So we have a lot to talk about today. Today, we're going to get to it and take that first break right now.
Sun Rental Center has been consistently reliable since 1979. Whether you're a large contractor or a homeowner with an important project, Sun Rental Center is your number one call for equipment rental and services. They go the extra mile, offering hourly, daily, weekly, monthly, and longer rental options with industry standard products from John Deere, Doosan, Genie, JLG, Multiquip, Ditch Witch, Makita, Honda, Steel, and more. Sun Rental Center is open in Sandpoint Monday through Saturday from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Hi, it's Corky here to make you a promise with Les Schwab Tires. We'll take care of your tires even after you buy them. Rotations, rebalancing, flat repairs, air checks, brake checks, alignment checks. And I'm out of time to list the rest of our included services. Point is, we give you and your dollar the most mileage possible. That's our best tire value promise. I'll pinky swear on it. Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
You know what nobody misses? Dial-up internet. The same goes for monthly checking account fees. P1FCU's Ascend Checking is free. Plus, it has all sorts of free benefits, like remote deposit, credit score monitoring, and more. Meanwhile, some people are paying as much as $12 a month for their checking. Some things should just be free. Open your P1FCU Ascend Checking today at p1fcu.org/free. Insured by NCUA.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-575-8695. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. There is zero risk to you. If we can't reduce your tax debt, then you pay nothing. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have a 5-star rating on Google and Yelp and an A+ with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-8695. That's 800-575-8695. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
Get the appliances you need right away at Lowe's. Explore the largest assortment of brands you trust, like Whirlpool, Samsung, and LG, in-store or online at the best values. Plus, take advantage of our everyday financing offers on top items, from refrigerators to laundry pairs. And there's more. Get your new appliances delivered or installed quickly at your convenience. Because Lowe's knows appliances. Lowe's knows home improvement. Subject to credit approval.
See our schedule, check our helpful links, or stream us anywhere. All at NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Everybody, welcome back in. You know, before I introduce my guest and welcome him into the studio, I want to just do a quick note of clarification about primaries in Idaho. Primary is coming up May 21st. And it's like registered Republicans are supposed to vote in the Republican primary and registered Democrats in the Democratic primary. And the reason that it goes that way is because the purpose of the primary is to, for each group of people, to nominate of the various people they could choose from their candidate, the one that they want to nominate to be on the ballot in the fall. And, you know, we've got some signature things going around about open primaries, which is ridiculous because the Supreme Court has long held the First Amendment protection of free speech, assembly, and petition. And what that means is we have the freedom to associate. It is well and good for just Republicans to find their nominee and just Democrats or Green Party or Libertarians to find their nominee, then get this. All the successful nominees are on the ballot in the fall, and that's when all God's children get to vote for whoever they want. I can go in, I can vote for the Democrat, I can vote for Green Party, I can do what I want to do on the fall election. Anyway, I know a lot of you have been confused about that and have asked, so that's just a short tutorial. I'll have our Bonner County Clerk, Mike Rosedale, on here again, and we'll go over that in depth so you understand the people that are talking about open primary and signatures and, oh, protect us from ranked choice voting. Anyway, that's that for now. That's my opinion. That may or may not be, I have no idea, the opinion of my guest. Let's get to him right now. John Van Giesen, thank you so much for being here today. Welcome.
Thank you, Barbara. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you so much. Well, you're, as I said, you are seeking the Republican nomination for sheriff in Boundary County. Start us off with a little bit about your background and your resume in law enforcement.
Well, Barbara, I'm 54 years old. I live in Naples in Boundary County. My wife, April, and I have been married for nearly 30 years, a couple weeks, so I'm going to take a couple days off in February to celebrate that. We have 7 children, 4 adult children. We still have 3 children at home, including our 4-year-old grandbaby that we're raising, that we have guardianship of. And I've been a law enforcement professional for more than 35 years. I have thousands of hours of training, including investigations, supervision, management, and most importantly, the administration of a sheriff's office. We truly cherish our liberties that we have here, our choices in schools, our protection for government overreach and mandates, and the rights that we have to do on our own property what we want to do. Those are who I am and what I believe in, and I'm excited to talk to you more about it.
Well, that's exciting. I know that a part of your resume, and you have an amazing resume, and people can find that resume by finding your website, right, on the internet.
Yes.
Is it still called the internet?
Or their mobile phone.
Yeah,
I mean, everybody can get to it everywhere. It's VanGiesenForSheriff.com. It's VanGiesen, the number 4Sheriff.com.
All right, excellent. So you were a deputy here in Bonner County with our sheriff's department. What was your role there? And then my secondary is, why are you leaving us?
Well, I've been working with Sheriff Wheeler since 2021. I started as a deputy. I'm currently the lieutenant of our professional standards, where I oversee the budget and operations of Bonner County 911, our support staff, and driver's license, and also professional standards, internal affairs. But prior to that, I did a nearly 30-year career, 29 years with the Kitsap County Sheriff's Office in the state of Washington. I held nearly every position at the Kitsap County Sheriff's Office. I led and supervised most specialty units, most divisions. I was a patrol deputy. I was a regional drug task force narcotics detective. I was a patrol supervisor. I was a internal affairs investigator. I was also a detective lieutenant, a patrol lieutenant, task force commander, for both a drug task force and also a regional team of investigators that investigated major crimes and officer-involved shootings. And then I retired from the Kitsap County Sheriff's Office in 2020 as an acting chief.
Okay, and that's when you came. Did you move to Bonner County, or rather Boundary County at that time?
Yes, that's our home, and it'll be our home forever.
Forever. Well, I know it's a cliche to say this, but really, in listening to you, it's like you've done it all.
I've done a lot.
You've really had a lot of experience in a lot of different areas. So my question is, you are stepping into a new arena. Sheriff is a political position to a certain extent, going through an election. That's new. So what is it that encouraged you? Clearly, you're not ready for retirement yet. So what encouraged you to step into the political arena?
Well, first off, Boundary County is my home. It's where I'm raising my children and grandchildren, and I'm sure my children will be living there for a long time as well. Mm. In the early spring, there were two candidates that announced their intentions to run for sheriff, and I listened to our community. What I heard was, we want another choice for sheriff. We want somebody that has had administrative experience, somebody that has experience in running a sheriff's office, but also has a path of proven leadership in those roles. So my hope is to bring the knowledge, skills, and abilities that I've learned throughout my career to the office of sheriff. And most importantly, I'm dedicated to protect the liberty and of Boundary County. And that's why I announced my candidacy in November.
All right. You know, it is so important to have a sheriff that stands for the Constitution, that stands for our rights. I mean, I was just talking about our right of free association. I know that's not playing out in your department. Our legislators have got to move to hopefully protect that. But it is really important, isn't it? I'm thinking of Texas a little bit right now, Idaho. It's important that we understand, not as rebels, but we understand the difference between the federal government, what they have purview over, and what our rights are here at the state level.
Yes, the Boundary County Sheriff and the position of sheriff has the obligation and the responsibility and the authority to protect all the citizens in the county. And as you know, Boundary County has a significant history with federal overreach and specific incidents that have occurred. And it's my job to protect the people from that happening. And we truly, we're a community that respects each other. Mm-hmm. But most importantly, protects each other.
Yeah.
And that's outside the realm of sheriff. That's neighbor to neighbor.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing rally in Texas right now.
Yeah. I hope that, I don't think we're losing that necessarily in Bonner County. We've had a lot of growth here, but yeah, I definitely see it. The people I talk to in Boundary County, there is a real sense of community and neighbors and really leaning into each other and understanding the issues deeply. This is a community that really gets together and asks good questions. Anyway, all right. So, I want to have you talk to our audience a little bit about what your priorities are. And one of the priorities that I saw on your website, vangeesenforsheriff.com, is that you want to enhance communication. And so that sounds good. Give us the details. Well, how does that translate?
Well, it translates to involving the community members. It also translates to having a clear path of communication within the office so that people understand the path that we're going to take under my leadership. It also goes to some technological advances that need to take place. Right now, the deputies in Boundary County don't have computers in their car.
Is that normal for deputies to have that? Like, do we have that in Bonner County?
We do. Okay. And what it does is it allows officers and deputies in the field to do their research, communicate back and forth, complete their reports, all this without coming back to the office to do that or to ask staff within the office to help them complete those tasks.
So they can actually do like a license check, who the owners are. They could do a warrant search to see if this person that who's licensed. So they can get a lot of information with that direct computer connection.
Yeah, right now it's all over the radio or phone where they're service. And so the deputies would be able to complete that those type of things out in the field, which keeps them where they're needed, not in downtown Bonner's Ferry at the courthouse or nearby.
Exactly, and keeps them in the moment of knowing what's going on at that point in time with that patrol stop or whatever it is that they're looking at. All right, well, I thank you because you just defined for me mobile data terminals. I kind of thought I knew, but you know, mobile data terminals in patrol vehicles. What's it? How many vehicles and what's it going to cost, do you think?
Well, right now, what I understand is the sheriff's office has purchased those MCTs, MDCs, mm-hmm. computer terminals.
Yeah.
And they have yet to be installed. So that's a priority, is get them installed. Now, I would inherit a budget as the elected sheriff. The budget's going to be decided and put into place October 1st of 2024. And then the new sheriff comes in January of 25. So I inherit the budget.
Right.
But working with budgets before, you try to figure out where are we able to save money, where are we able to reallocate money towards our priorities. And one of them would be the installation of those computers in the cars. That's a priority. And if we can do 1, 2, 3 a year, that's going to be a benefit to where we are right now.
Yes. And I think anybody listening, I have a really smart audience out there, and everybody knows, you know, budgets, even your personal budget, but certainly at government level, they're always working a year or 2 years ahead. You know, the budget that's happening right now has long since been set. So, yeah, it's the next year and the next year after that that are going to be on your desk.
And it could be as simple, Barbara, as something where we just defer the purchase of a vehicle for a year and utilize it for another year and use those monies that would have been allocated towards that to install that in the car. So it's looking at what's there, what's available, how to be creative, smart, and efficient with it, and then put that into practice.
And I know that I'm not surprised it's on your list, but I think it's so important to say it, that a part of your enhancing communication is talking about, you know, informing the public, keeping people informed, not just of, you know, when road conditions are bad, but kind of through the whole thing to keep your community in the loop, so to speak.
Yeah, if people don't have information, they're going to fill it in with misinformation.
Yeah.
And I'm an over-communicator, so I...
Not possible. Can't over-communicate. No.
but it feels like that sometimes, and it's my job to share that information, answer the questions. And one thing that I really stress with my staff, and I was taught this early on in my career, is you can't meet people's expectations if you don't know what they are. So just take 10, 15 seconds, have a conversation, figure out what those expectations are. And if there's a solution that we could come to, a resolution that we could come to that is mutually beneficial and we have the authority to do, they're involved in the decision and make it happen. Yeah. And then everybody leaves as happy as they possibly could under those circumstances.
Yeah. You know what I like about communication, just what you're saying, this open communication, you know, find out what's going on, is even if you disagree, at least you know you disagree, and then you know what you're addressing. You know what maybe they need to hear to adjust what they're thinking or at least mitigate it. So, yeah, you don't have to. Communication is never about always agreeing.
It isn't.
What kind of a party is that?
and the thing is, we're communicating with people that are in a crisis quite often. They're calling 911 for help.
Oh, yeah.
So when you respond to that call, and you're communicating in that crisis, they have these unrealistic expectations of what could happen or not happen. But get those right out there and clarify it. Have that conversation. It doesn't take very long. And then, like I said, people people leave satisfied with the resolution, or at least understand the resolution.
So Boundary County has its own dispatcher unit, right?
They do.
And that's under your purview as sheriff.
It is.
And so tell us just, we got a little break coming up here in a minute, but tell us a little bit about the dispatchers. I did a program with the Bonner County dispatcher, supervisor, manager. Honestly, I was just blown away. I was just so in awe. I can't believe how important their job is. They are the first responders, the first responders.
They are. They are the lifeline. They're what you want to have on the other end when you call 911.
Yes.
They're making and helping with life and death decisions just over a phone line through their voice. So they have to add comfort. They have to have critical thinking to make good decisions. And our dispatchers in Boundary County are dispatching for fire,
yes,
EMS, and the sheriff's office and the police department.
Yes.
So they have to prioritize all those things as they're doing them. It is a super important job with a tremendous amount of responsibility.
That is so true. And I was talking to a state trooper. They have their own dispatchers for our state troopers. And he was giving an example of just what you're saying about how important dispatchers are, because he was on a call, but the dispatcher made the decision to call him off of that and redirect him to another. I mean, this was her. I'm going to say her. I'm assuming it was. But this dispatcher made that decision. It was huge. And of course, he said it was the right one. But boy, that's fierce.
It is. And it's not a job I could do. They're tremendous at what they do, and most important, lifeline to the sheriff's office.
Well, we love our dispatchers. Kudos to all the dispatchers in North Idaho. Okay, we're up against our next commercial break. We're going to do a little business just for you.
A new year and another chapter to our story commences at the Pondere Winery. As we start looking ahead to our blending trials and the bottling of our next wines, we invite you to come enjoy our current releases, including January's Wine of the Month, our 2021 Merlot. We're also happy to announce the addition of Grenache on tap and available for refills. There's another full lineup of music and, as always, delectable bites to satisfy every palate. We're located at 301 Cedar in downtown Sandpoint and open Tuesday through Saturday, noon till 8. Wishing you the happiest of New Year's from all of us at the Pondere Winery.
Sandpoint Superdrug has everything you need in one place. Stop in now for the best selection on gifts and housewares. Check out their hardware department for your winter maintenance. Traction sand, snow shovels, ice melt, to easy heat products that can help keep your surroundings safe. Visit their nutrition center for your health needs and talk to an associate about their new clinical services now available. Happy New Year from Sandpoint Superdrug on Fifth Avenue, serving Sandpoint for over 50 years.
Bridge Transmission and Performance, formerly BF Quick Lube, has new owners and new services, offering transmission repair, manual and automatic, U-joints, clutches, differentials, custom upgrades, transfer gauges, and transmission services. Call for an appointment, 267-7481, or just stop in. Your go-to mechanic in Bonner's Ferry for everything from oil changes to transmission repair. Get a free diagnostic at Red's Transmission and Performance, 6878 Main Street in Bonner's Ferry.
You know what nobody misses? Dial-up internet. The same goes for monthly checking account fees. P1FCU's Ascend Checking is free. Plus, it has all sorts of free benefits, like remote deposit, credit score monitoring, and more. Meanwhile, some people are paying as much as $12 a month for their checking. Some things should just be free. Open your P1FCU Ascend Checking today at p1fcu.org/free. Insured by NCUA.
Save now with Bi-Mart's latest savings book. Check your mailbox or pick up a copy in-store. Buy two Pepsi brand 12-packs and get two free with an in-store coupon. Save $4 on Planters Jumbo Whole Cashews or Deluxe Mixed Nuts. Nature Made vitamins and supplements are 25% off. Plus, find great everyday value on Bi-Mart Bleach. Member price to just $2.99 for 96 ounces. The savings start Tuesday at Bi-Mart, your Northwest employee-owned membership store.
Progressive asks, what do a slow Friday night, bored teenage boys,
I'm bored,
a pack of fireworks,
this is going to be awesome,
and a teetering branch suspended over your car have in common?
Look out! Run!
They can quickly wreak havoc on your slow Friday night.
Uh-oh.
Bundle your home and auto with Progressive for great savings and round-the-clock protection.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
North Idaho's Radio, 97.1 FM.
Hey, everybody, welcome in. We have got it going on today for you with John Van Giesen. He is he wants to be the Republican nominee for sheriff in Boundary County. And he's joining us today talking about his issues, his priorities, and how he wants to serve. So one of the areas that you have got as a priority is investing in the future. What's that all about?
Well, the biggest investment for any office is its people. So we need to keep good quality people. We need to attract quality people. We need to train them well. We need to create an environment that they feel valued. And one of the other areas that is going to be a big challenge for the sheriff over the next 5 years, including Sheriff Kramer's current term, is building a new jail that has to do with the safety of 911, which is currently located at the sheriff's office downtown, and the safety of our detention staff and our inmates in the jail, and most importantly, the safety of our county. And that is going to take a lot of planning. It's going to take a lot of investment. It's going to take a lot of community involvement in decision-making. And then also investing in the future through expanding volunteer opportunities. Mm-hmm. We have a tremendous amount of resources within our community in Boundary County that can offer services to the sheriff's office in a lot of areas of expertise, where from the sheriff down, there's only 13 deputies total. And with the amount of area that we have to cover from Washington to Montana, Canada to Bonner County, we can use those volunteer to help with that. And so that's a big area I want to expand as well too. And then professional development, because I don't want there to be a question on who should continue to be sheriff, because it's going to be a clear decision through the staff that we develop at the sheriff's office.
Okay, talking about recruiting and keeping professional deputies and employees, whether dispatchers and all, do you have openings right? Are there openings right now in the sheriff's department that you know about?
I believe there is one deputy sheriff opening.
Okay.
Everything else is filled.
All right. Well, that's good news, but we need a deputy. And the other thing to follow up on, the volunteers, how important that is. There's so many skill sets out there, and to really organize them, that's just money in the bank for these mobile data terminals and all kinds of good stuff.
And the other projects and the other things that we need to do to provide services in Boundary County.
Yes.
With the limited resources we have. Boundary County Search and Rescue and the dive team is tremendous.
All volunteers.
All volunteers.
Wow.
We have a liaison. Sheriff Kramer currently has a liaison within the sheriff's office that oversees that program.
Okay.
And ultimately, it's the sheriff's responsibility.
Right.
But dog teams, horse teams, ground teams, expertise from all over the area that volunteer. Of course, that can be expanded, but I also see ways that we can expand it within investigations and patrol,
mm-hmm.
because we have people in our community that can help in those areas where we may only have one or two detectives and eight deputies working the street, where we can supplement that with volunteers.
Well, we all know that North Idaho is a retirement zone for former law enforcement and fire, and so there should be a lot of really good people out there ready to
go. I know there are a lot of good people out there.
Okay, the new jail. You need a new jail. I have no idea, actually, what that could possibly cost. And is it always just with a bond, or are there grants available? How do you pay for a new jail?
Well, the first thing is, Barbara, that there are proposals out there to remodel the existing jail, which is just putting a Band-Aid on a facility that's in a floodplain right next to the railroad tracks downtown. And it would just be expanding and improving on the ground that they're in now. With that, there's staffing issues. It doesn't create a new facility where we can be more efficient. And the remodel, I think, is about $9.3 million. The new jail would be around $11 million on property already owned by the county. With the new jail, it would double the capacity of the current jail, putting us in a good position for the next 20 or 30 years. It would put us in a position where we could offer contracts out to the U.S. Marshals, Idaho Department of Corrections, and tribes to house their prisoners for a cost, creating a revenue stream. And what Sheriff Kramer has indicated is that that revenue stream could be $500,000 to $600,000 a year. If we were able to secure a long-term, low-interest loan for the construction of the jail at the $11 million figure, that significantly reduces the amount of liability upon the taxpayer in Boundary County by creating that revenue stream. And that's right now, that's kind of the model that I'm thinking about, and I'm sure that'll change over time, but that's kind of where we're at right now. We're in the very early stages.
Right. I don't want to make a snap decision here, but I mean, I don't want to act like $1.7 million is not a significant chunk of change, but the difference between 9.3 and 11 seems like that is so close, and the benefit of the brand new facility on Landshore. I mean, I've already...
Have I convinced you?
No, I'm already... I want the new jail. It just makes sense to me. Plus, it's so much better for everybody.
Like you said earlier...
Safety.
Yes, 911, yeah. The lifeline, would be relocated to the new facility, safer. Our detention staff would be safer.
And the people inside that are incarcerated will be safer. Plus, I'll bet better separation between men and women. You know, there are just all kinds of issues, adults and kids or teenagers that need to be separated.
Well, I just heard a story this weekend where a pastor was coming in for a Bible study, and because there's an attorney-inmate meeting, that Bible study can't take place because there isn't another place for it to happen. So this creates a lot of other opportunities for those programs to flourish.
I like it. All right. We're going to get started, but listen, we have got a lot on this list. After the next break, we'll continue. But I want to get John Van Giesen is our guest today. He is seeking the nomination for sheriff in Boundary County. He'll be on the primary ballot up there in Boundary County, May 21st. And if successful at the primary level, then he'll be on the fall ballot for the actual election of the sheriff. So, John, let's get into some of the issues in Boundary County, some of the things that maybe not unique to Boundary County, but they're on the top of your list. Let's start off with what maybe some of your top one is.
Drugs, specifically fentanyl, are number one on my list because of its significant risk to the public. Drug overdoses are the number one cause of death in the nation right now, with synthetics, including fentanyl, being a large percentage of that. As sheriff, my job primarily lies within the enforcement and education prong of that. However, it also goes to the legislative prong to educate the lawmakers of what is helpful. Well, I have some fantastic news to report that last week a bill has made it out of committee and is in the legislature right now, regarding fentanyl mandatory minimum sentencing for trafficking fentanyl. 4 grams, 100 pill minimum, starts a 3-year mandatory minimum sentence, and it goes up from there.
And no probation.
Well, probation would follow incarceration, but okay. This is they're not available to be released until they've served their time.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, probation during the minimum sentence.
Correct.
Throw away the key. All right.
Another thing that's super helpful with the statute is a death resulting delivery statute, which we do not have in Idaho currently. We're one of five states in the nation approximately that does not have a death resulting homicide statute.
So if a drug dealer is convicted and that dealing has caused a death, he can be prosecuted for murder?
He could be prosecuted for the death resulting delivery.
So prosecuted, okay, it could be manslaughter, it could be murder.
It's its own statute.
Its own statute.
Yep, so it's when you deliver drugs that resulted in the death of a person. This is a new law that's being proposed.
Okay. Is that in committee and may come out this year? Do you think that has legs for this session?
It sounds like it has support, and it's gone from committee and it's out on the floor, so it hasn't been voted on that I know of.
That is excellent. I know there's a North Idaho Drug Task Force, and I'm sure Boundary County is a part of that. Is Boundary County a part of that? I just saw that look.
Well, there's Task Force 9 that's operated out of Coeur d'Alene.
Uh-huh.
They support the agencies within North Idaho, the five counties. That includes DEA agents, troopers from the Idaho State Police, and local agencies. Most of the contributing agencies at this point are in the Coeur d'Alene area, but they support investigations in Boundary County. They support investigations in all the northern counties.
So what would you do? Well, we're up against a break. Let's take that break right now. When we come back, I want to know what expansion into the drug task force duties that John Van Giesen envisions. All right, we'll be right back.
Look, I'm not going to tell you you have to have a Camas Rewards card when you come to Northern Quest. You don't. You don't have to earn points on every dollar you spend here or enjoy prize entries, dining discounts, pre-sale concert tickets, and so on. Heck, you don't even have to receive free cash money for doing what you already do here. After all, free country, right? Camas Rewards, for all the ways you play.
You know the old saying, another day, another dollar? Well, at Northern Quest, we're going with another day, another $60,000. It's our Lucky Leap Day giveaway. One extra day in February could be your ticket to all kinds of extra cash prizes, up to $30,000. Just play daily in February to enter and be here for the grand prize drawing on February 29th. The Lucky Leap Day giveaway. Details at northernquest.com.
The thick and thin beams of Bonner's Ferry, your hometown sawmill, help you spruce up your home with new flooring, a decorative mantel, or desktop. There's something special and satisfying about building your home using local wood. Its beauty and strength are hard to beat. Be sure to check with Thick and Thin Lumber first for all your wood product needs. For fast, reliable service and competitive pricing, come see the mill at 4355 Cow Creek Road or check out the website, tntbeams.com.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. In the process, started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. The ugly truth is, when you buy a timeshare, you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. I recently helped a couple that had their maintenance fees go from $800 to $3,200 a year. They also received a $4,000 assessment for a hurricane that was over 1,000 miles away. Sound crazy? The crazy thing is, this never ends. Call my office now. If we take you as a client, I guarantee we'll cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit. Call 800-462-3333. That's 800-462-3333. 800-462-3333.
At Progressive, we love sports and saving you money, so we bundled them together.
Top of the seventh looks like a pitching change as they've set up for a corner kick. The two black belts have entered the mat, and the slider is low and away. He heads the ball to midfield. This is quite a kumite. Here comes the roundhouse. Has it got enough gas to get out of here? Unbelievable! They've bundled their home and auto insurance with Progressive. Kick savings, pitch karate!
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
97.1 FM.
1450 KBFI and KSPT.
Hey everybody, thanks again for joining with us. Love it when you take us along for the ride. Our guest today is John Van Giesen. He is going to be on the primary ballot up in Boundary County, seeking the nomination for sheriff, hoping to win the primary so his name can be on the November ballot to elect that sheriff. So, John, we've been talking about this top priority of drug interdiction and drug issues and drug death up in Boundary County. Finish it off for us. What can you do? What more can the sheriff's office do about this issue?
One of the areas that can be addressed is working with the prosecutor's office to prioritize these defendants. And having a process in place where we're going after them with the fullest extent of the law. But it starts with the work that the patrol deputies are doing out on the street, collecting intelligence, making good arrest, not just simply stopping when they make a drug arrest, but getting that intel about other drug traffickers, drug users within the community, so that we can take out that entire network. A lot of my career, I spent working drug investigations, and whether it was just the nuisance house in the neighborhood or an international drug trafficking organization that is importing hundreds of pounds of, in this case, methamphetamine to various parts of the nation, I've worked those cases. I've worked those cases where I've chased the source of supply all the way down to the Mexican border. Arrested with my team and a large group of investigators, 27 people in Western Washington, 16 down in Southern California out of the Santa Ana DEA office, including the number one person in the United States that was importing methamphetamine from Mexico. And additional networks on that case were taken down in Birmingham, Alabama, and Indianapolis.
It's all over.
It is.
And they are powerful. But and not indomitable.
No, and that's why you have to be intentional about not just booking the guy for possession, or you have to investigate the case, try to figure out who's involved, throw as many resources as you possibly can to it, make it a priority, and not only work with our local prosecutor, but work with a U.S. attorney to see if we can get some bigger teeth in some cases.
Yeah. You know, hopefully the two legislative changes that you already talked about, minimum sentences for different aspects of drug dealing, and also death delivery, that there would be a death charge if that dealer causes a death.
Yes.
Do you have a canine unit up in Boundary County, and is that something you'd like to have?
There is a canine unit that is narcotics detection.
Yes.
So, yeah, utilizing those resources. And the other thing about enforcement is the bad guys don't know the county line. So
yes,
we need to be openly communicating between Bonner County, Boundary County, our neighboring counties in Montana and Washington about those cases, because we can work together to solve those. It's not just us making an arrest.
Indeed. And I was just thinking, is it what the drugs, we all know drugs are coming across the border and every bad thing you can imagine, but are they coming up into Idaho? Or are they coming across, also across from Canada, or coming up through Idaho and going on into Canada?
So most of our drugs, specifically our hard drugs, methamphetamine, cocaine, heroin, fentanyl, come up through Mexico, through the Tri-Cities, or I-5.
And Spokane.
Into Spokane. And then because of the pressures on I-5 and I-90, 95 and Highway 2 are secondary routes.
Wow.
And what goes right through Boundary County, yeah. 95 and Highway 2. Yes, I'm sure there are lesser amounts of drugs being brought over the north border. My focus is with the south border because that's where most of our information is and our sheer volume
yeah.
is.
What about drugs going on into Canada? Like they just keep going up and they've got cartel work going, or, you know, evil going on up there.
Yeah, I don't have any specific information about that, Barbara. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I just wish our border was as tight as I flew into France a couple of years ago. Well, I flew into Israel last September. If you want border security, you know, I don't know why we don't learn a lesson. There is nothing going down at that airport. I mean, I'm telling you, they are tight but friendly. All right. So you had a thought about, and I'm interested in it, line positions and administrative positions.
Well, what I learned, as I talked about early on in the program, Barbara, was I heard the other two candidates announce their candidacy for sheriff. And I don't think a lot of your listeners know the difference when I throw out a title of what the significant roles in the sheriff's office are and how they're different. So there's a significant difference between line positions of deputy, officer, and detective. Those are your first responders. Those are your uniforms. Those are your investigators. And then there's a part of the sheriff's office that's supervision, leadership, and the responsibilities of the sheriff, which are budget, personnel, policy, hiring and firing. The titles and ranks give somebody authority. However, it's what you do with that responsibility and the results that you create from that responsibility. So that's what I wanted to share about those other titles and other responsibilities, is it's what you do with that and what results you create. So I hope that helps clarify some things for your listeners.
Yeah, that what you're talking about, this administrative experience coming up through the ranks is good, but having actual administrative experience already is important. What kind of events, meet and greets, what's going on that people can connect with you personally?
Well, the best way to keep up to date on the events is to go to my website, vangeesonforsheriff.com, or our Facebook group, because those events are updated sometimes daily.
Yes.
I do have several coffee and conversation events on most Saturdays throughout Boundary County at 8 in the morning. We ran those all through January, the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th Saturday of the month, and had lots of people come out and visit and ask questions and get to know me, because that's what's important. The other two candidates have a long tenure within Boundary County, and I'm the relative newcomer, and it's really important that they know who I am and compare me to those other candidates so they know they're making a good decision for sheriff.
So Saturday coffees, and people can find out where those are and when they are on your website.
Correct.
Van Giesen for Sheriff.
Yeah, and give me a call, give me an email. But we do 2-3 events a week. We do have a sheriff's debate coming up in March.
Oh, excellent. In March.
Yeah,
okay.
So it's March 21st at 6 p.m. at Bonners Ferry High School. And from what I've told, all three candidates have agreed to participate. And then the other tools that you can use on my website, you can use it to register to vote. You can use it to get your absentee ballot. You can research endorsements. You can also look further into the issues and my experience, because today you and I have only had a little snapshot of things.
It's true.
Want to give them a bigger picture. So directing them to the website is best.
Yeah, absolutely. A deeper picture. You know, devil's in the details. But what we've covered today here is, I think, really excellent. I thank you so much for being with us. I wish you all the best in your pursuit to be Boundary County Sheriff.
Thank you, Barbara.
All right, everyone. Thanks for being with us. Next week, I'm looking forward to talking with Lori Morris. Lori is in charge of the North Idaho Cardiac Rehab with her team. You know that February is Heart Month, and so we're all looking for a healthy, happy hearts. Come on back next Tuesday. Check it out. Until then, this is Barbara saying, please take care of yourself and each other. Slow down out there, and may God richly bless you, my friends.